guys, and welcome to a new episode of Gloves On. We're your host, Alexander Brems and Marcus Sundin. And today we have a very special guest, Lee Robinson. Welcome to this podcast.
Thank you. Nice to meet you both finally.
You too, mate. You too. So Lee is a professional goalkeeper, and he's the goalkeeper from the social media page, the very popular one, the Modern Day GK. So Lee, can you tell us a little about your career? So you grew up in England and played most of your career in Scotland, correct?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I was at Sunderland when I was a kid, and then I think they said I was too small at 12, not enough confidence, too small. And what they do in England, they just get rid of kids. So I did 5 years where I just played locally. And then when I left school, I went to college for a year, sports college. It was my best year, to be honest. And then I had a few offers that year from clubs, but I enjoyed college. College is different in the UK to what it is in the States, but it was just, I was enjoying it there. But then when a club like Rangers comes, obviously you can't say no. And I loved Glasgow from when I used to go when my dad worked there. So it was an easy one, really. There was a chance, it was between Celtic and Rangers I went to, and it ended up being Rangers. So, so I played there for 6 years. And then I went to a few other teams. But like I say, the mental part of goalkeeping was something that I always found the hardest.
Yeah, so talking a bit about the mental part, like what was the hard part? Because it is very hard, and there's pressure, there is mistakes, there is being confident all the time. So what did you struggle with?
I think if you care, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think your job as a goalkeeper isn't to be great technically, great timing. I think your job as a goalkeeper is to deal with pressure. I think 90% of goalkeeping is you're there thinking. And I think, like most people know, as soon as you start thinking too much about something, that's when it makes it really difficult. So I think I've always struggled with it. But I think it's also if you really care, if you're sensitive, if you think about things too much, a lot of the best guys in the world, we would say now, aren't necessarily the most talented and technically gifted. I think they're there for a reason, and not a lot of the players at the top level, I would say their biggest attribute is their mentality and the calmness. So that's why I wish I knew now when I was younger. I wish I knew then what I know now, and I wish I had somebody like me to guide us who's been through it all. And everyone said I was the most naturally gifted and at kicking the ball, the most naturally gifted goalkeeper when I was young. But I never got anywhere near the level I should have. And I think it was to do with the pressure and little things like taking the pressure off yourself as a goalie by have something else to run alongside your career. It's the most basic thing, unheard of in football, but clubs don't want you to do it because they want to have you at their beck and call. But I think having something to run alongside your career is the biggest thing. And I think people say give everything to football. I think the worst thing you can ever do is give everything to football because it makes it really difficult. You've got to have some other things to take the pressure off. You can't control what happens on a Saturday. All you can control is the preparation and how you prepare being a goalkeeper and how you prepare for a Saturday. So little things I think can make a massive difference. And I played at a really good club and some other good clubs, but I never had one bit of advice from a coach or from anyone that I would pass on now. You go at 17 as a professional and they just take it, you're a professional, they don't try to make you better, you're just who you are and you're just meant to train every day and get experience. So
yeah, that's really interesting that you haven't received help whenever you became a pro, because that's something that is really undervalued is the mental part that we've just been talking
exactly.
about. Like it's something that they go in and they want you to play and they want to prepare you physically, but mentally, right now, I haven't experienced it and I haven't seen it. Like, it's something that's coming up for sure, but still not. There's so many young kids out there who fail at 20 because they just don't want to, they didn't know.
The differences, it was funny, I went to watch a game, my brother was playing and the two goalies were maybe getting £100 a week to play like semi-professional. And the technique, I just watched the distribution. There were two decent goalkeepers, but distribution-wise, they were better than a lot of lads playing at the highest level. So it's like, this is what people need to know. It's absolutely nothing to do with talent. Talent's maybe the fifth or sixth most important thing. And what we've realised now, someone with the right mentality, if you've got the right mentality, anybody can be a goalkeeper, anybody can be a footballer. If you don't have it, you make it really, really difficult for yourself. So I think it's better technique at the lower leagues than some guys at the very top. People think because they're at the top, they are superior, both technically and everything, physically, technically. But I think it's all about the mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And if you want to give some little, to listeners out there, some little advice on how to get that mentality or how to have that mentality.
I'm not a psychologist, so I couldn't do it. Like, but little things like, for me, I felt as though I played my whole career with a big weight on my shoulders. And what that does, it stops you from playing with freedom. It stops you from being as fast as what you are. Everything, some games I played and I didn't want to run 6 meters for a goal kick to kick a ball because I was just like so drained. And I think obviously the biggest thing is doing things like working hard every single day, the most basic thing. But if you go into a game thinking I've done everything possible to prepare myself, I've ate the right foods, I've lived in the right way, I've trained the right way, I think you're going to, if I went to a game, I would think, well, whatever, what will be, because I've done everything I possibly can. But for the professional side, like I said, I think having something to run alongside your career, every penny I earned, well, every penny I paid for mortgage and bills throughout my career came from my football. And goalkeeping, there's enough pressure there without thinking you have to earn the money to provide for your family and to pay your bills. So for professionals, I think anybody, it should be education, should be the most important thing up until 21 and have something else. If you're not the educational type, you have to do something like a trade or something to run alongside your career. And that's what we try to say to these young goalkeepers now. I think we've come up with the idea of maybe getting these young, talented lads that are nice lads to start their own academy under our name. And it could give them the income which will pay their bills, their mortgages in the future. And the key to being a top player or being a footballer and being able to play, I think, is play football because you want to and not because you have to. I played because I had to my whole career because I had to pay things. Whereas if you have something else that pays your mortgage and bills and stuff, I think you, all of a sudden you're playing football because you want to and it just takes the pressure off. And I think it would have helped me massively. Obviously, I'm not a sports psychologist, but what the advice we can give is stuff I don't think they can give, to be honest, because we've been through it all and failed, really. I always feel as though it's like a failure, but I did okay. I always say mentally, I think I overachieved because of how what I was like. But for talent and technique, I got nowhere near where I could have.
I think that's very interesting because Alexander and I talked a lot about it. We had an episode with Hannah Bromley as well as a sports psychologist as well. And yeah, I've seen you post stuff from Dan Abrahams as well. And it's becoming well known nowadays that it's so important, especially for our position, because we deal with a lot of, as you mentioned, pressure and stuff like that. And if we make a mistake, it's tough for us to recover from it. But I couldn't agree more that the mental part is such an important aspect nowadays.
The mistakes in it, it's the fear of making mistakes, and that's what, and doing it in front of people, in front of a big crowd. You might have 2 months on your contract and you might be worrying about that. And then you've got that added pressure because if you make a mistake, what would happen to me is I'd make a mistake and then it would ruin the rest of the game. It would ruin my weekend. I would take it into the week. It would affect my next game and then it can affect your career. And it's absolutely crazy. There's no point in worrying about it, is there? And for young goalkeepers now, the best advice you can give is if you make a mistake, be thankful you've done it at a young age. If you do it at 13, it's brilliant because remember, work on it and make sure you don't make it again when you're 26 and you're playing for a club. And I think people have got to encourage kids to make the mistake, know the limitations, know what works, know what doesn't work. Whereas you get kids that just want to play safe because they're so worried about making mistakes. So for me, I went on loan from Rangers to a team in the next league down, and I thought I had to go there to be perfect if I wanted to go back to Rangers. But Rangers sent me there to go and learn and make mistakes and learn about how to be a professional footballer. And I didn't get the advice then. Nobody told me that's why I was going. I thought I was going to be perfect. So when I made a mistake at 20 playing at a team in the lower league, the second league in Scotland, I thought it was the end of the world and I thought my career was over. And it's crazy. And that's played a massive part in my career. And I just didn't have this education. And obviously I expect at a club like Rangers, it's an amazing club. Looking back, you think, how did I not get that education? But like I said, there's not one bit of advice I've had from anybody I've worked with goalkeeping-wise that I would pass on. And I think, obviously, I would never blame anybody else for not doing how I shouldn't. But obviously, I didn't get much help at all. But like I say now, I think training's brilliant, the way they train. The goalkeepers, a lot of places, they do. It's like 40% is outfield training. And then a game, I think the stats are like 80% with your feet. So if you're training outfield, you're running, you feel better because you're fit. You're not doing the volley, goalkeeper training. That doesn't happen in games for me. And I did that, must have had 10,000 volleys in my life. But I think it's brilliant that they're training this way. And I think it's great because you're going to be fitter, you're going to be better on the ball, you're going to be more comfortable. And I think I would have enjoyed being a goalkeeper a lot more. If I did that throughout my career, I think it would have been, I'd say for fitness, I think it's, why not be the fittest in the team as a goalkeeper? And I always was, but it was like, I just wanted to be doing more and more with the ball, and which is going to be beneficial and help you in games.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's something that I've been trying to tell people that they're like, oh, you just have to do goalkeeper practice. I'm like, no, because 80% of the time, in a game, I use the ball with my feet. There's only like 4, 5, 6 saves maybe, but the rest is just distributing, being open, being in the game. And as you mentioned, like when I was younger, it was like 40% outfield training. We were a lot in the...
Wow, really?
In the drills. When I went in the club I grew up, it was a lot with the drills with outfield players. And being as a goalkeeper, then they had like a possession game and then we were in the end, just being like the back pass guy. And that really helped me a lot.
Well, that's it. I did maybe one session my whole career on that. And I just think I think if you break it down, like you're probably thinking in the game, you're probably thinking 80% of the time, or 90%. You're probably using your feet 9%, and you're probably using your hands 1% of the time. I don't know if it'll be something similar, but you do, in training, you do 90% with your hands. Don't you? And like, that's normal. I don't know about you, but I mean, in general, goalkeeper training is this. And I just think you need to do stuff that happens in a game. And our training, if you watch our sessions, we need to post a lot more, but our training, you'll see so many mistakes, goals, parries, everything. Whereas you watch some top level goalkeeper training, even the England national team, I can see why people like to watch it, because the sounds are nice. It's all nice handling, nice catching. But I think it's, is it realistic? And I think you need to have things that are going to happen in games. Like I say, I think I've had 10,000 volleys in my career, and in a game, I haven't had one yet from 6 yards or 10 yards. Yeah. And then when even half volleys, I've had thousands of them. And the one that I got in a game in my 16 years, I think I dropped it because I thought it was too easy, because I do it all the time. So it's...
Yeah.
It's but now, like you say, I think these things are changing a bit, and there's still the old school guys, but I think it is changing. And but what we want to do is we're all about like the mental side and the mental health, because there's a massive problem in football with a lot of guys that really, really get down, and they see that one good game can take them on a track to get loads of money, and then another one bad game can take you to out the game. So I think that's what we really want to get over, that it's the mentality side is so important.
Cool. And talking about that, you mentioned in the beginning that in England they don't care if you're not high enough, they would just cut you off the team. And that's the main reason why you also went to Scotland.
I wouldn't say that. I would say, like, there was Sheffield United asked us to go, and there was a couple of teams in England. But when I was 15, Middlesbrough, my dad spoke to Middlesbrough, and they said if you're not 6'3", they wouldn't look at you. So that was the attitude, and I came through at that time when it was massively into it was all about height. I think Peter Schmeichel had a big bit to play there, and everybody wanted a Schmeichel. But for me, it was it's not we'd like. I think his son's more our type of goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think he's brilliant.
But talking about the height, all three of us is quite small compared to goalkeepers around the world nowadays. Is that why you also focused on working on other aspects of the game, like distribution as well?
Nah, the distribution side was always, I ever worked on it. Everything was, I was fine that way from when I was a kid. But I think when you are smaller, you've got to, I don't think I was brave enough in games. I should have done a lot more. But I never got one session in my life dealing with one-on-ones. And when I went to America last summer and saw a lot of guys doing it, I think it's brilliant. But that can be the difference. That can help your mentality. Because if you do that, if you do a block in a game and get hit in the face or the chest, the supporters absolutely love it. And they think, oh, he loves the club. He wants to be here. So little things like that. I don't think height was... Of course, it would have put some people off, but I would never, ever blame that on not getting where I should have been. Obviously, like I said, my biggest problem was the worry and the anxiety and worrying about making mistakes. So the height, I think I was good enough. I had enough talent to do well. And I got the opportunities to play a club like Rangers. They're a bigger club than a lot of the clubs in the English Premier League. So if you can, and people always say if you can play for them, because it's so hostile and so demanding, the fans, you can play anywhere. So I think now as well, what is a good one is the fact that it's changing. We always say Guardiola, would he want a big 6'6" goalkeeper who can't use his feet? He's got the best guy in the world. He's got the best guy ever with his feet in goal. Yeah. And I think Edison could have been 5'10", and I think Guardiola would have took him. And I think now it is changing. I think it is coming away from that. And if everybody was like Guardiola, there will be no big goalkeepers in the game, really, I don't think. I think they'd all be around between 5'10 and 6'1". So I think football's changed, and I think it can change for goalkeepers. And like I say, when I came through 2003, I think it was all about the bigger the better. Yeah. But we're trying to educate. We want people to have good timing, good technique, be fast, be good on the ball, be able to carry the ball and be the 11th player. And I think that's when you've got a massive advantage. So I think it is coming away from bigger is better. I think, of course, if you've got a 6'5" guy who's unbelievable technique and talented and great with his feet, of course, it's going to be better than having someone at 6 foot if they're exactly the same technique and talent. But usually the smaller the guys are, the more natural they are.
Yeah, I agree. And to talk about, like, what has been your motivation to keep playing until now, 30, 33, because some of my motivation have been that I've had so many coaches who've told me that you're too small, that you're never going to make it. And that just kept me motivating me throughout my career this far. And I'm not planning on stopping right now. So what have you prove coaches wrong by saying that you were never going to make it, or what has been motivator?
For me, it was the other way, because from when I was 6 or 7, everyone at school said I would be a professional. When I was 17, I went to Glasgow Rangers and they said I was the most naturally gifted goalkeeper they'd saw, and they expected us to go to a better level. So really, it's funny because, like, see, they expected us to, but I always remember my coach at 18, he was quite a hard guy, and he says the only thing that will stop us from making it to the highest level is myself. And I think it was spot on, really. But you get these knockbacks, and of course you want to prove people wrong. But what I found is, because the goalkeeping position is all about mentality, I think you need to go into games cool and composed. And I think it would be great if you could go into games and think, I'm going to use all this motivation to prove him wrong. But for me, when I thought about stuff like that, it would just put more pressure on and I would struggle more, because then if I made a mistake, not only was I disappointed, but I was like, shit, that guy's going to be happy as well. I haven't proved him wrong. So it's like, I think it's different for all different people. Obviously, your way is that way. And but it all depends on your mentality. And maybe it would have been good if 17, if people were saying to me, you won't make it, you won't make it. Because then it would have been the kick up the arse I needed. Whereas at 17, when people are saying, you're really talented and you could go to the highest level, maybe that was the worst thing that happened to me. So it's, but I wish you could go in, but sometimes I couldn't even go into games and use my determination, because when you're anxious and worried, you just can't hit. You've just goalkeeping position. I think it's about being composed. Whereas I think as a player, it's better, because if you've got all that anger and determination, you can go and take it out on the other team. You can run, you can put your foot in. As a goalkeeper, you can't get into the game. You're relying on the game bringing you in. So it's good. I wish I had your way. I wish I could do that, because it might have helped me.
That's great. And Lee, talking about nowadays, you have started social media with the modern day GK, where you probably is mostly known for the great side volley. And I think that's a big aspect of the development of distribution nowadays as well, because a lot of goalkeepers see through your page that how important it is and how they can use it in games as well. Why and how did you start the Monday GK and how did it become a reality?
I left Glasgow Rangers, and then I had a year out because I thought I did really well when I was there. I had a really difficult time, and then everybody who was out of contract got let go because there was problems at the club. And I just took time out of the game, and I had offers from some teams in the top league in Scotland, but I just didn't want to be involved. But it wasn't until about 6 or 8 months later that me and my brother Mark were come back from Costco, and we just thought, we don't want to be coaches, but how can we start something that can help goalies deal with the pressure and the stress and being released from clubs at 18, thinking they're never going to be a goalkeeper because some under 18 goalkeeper coaches told them they're not good enough. So we just started that. And obviously, I don't know why it was with the videos and that, but I just thought people like to watch nice technique and just show people that I wasn't in the game, but technically I would think I was better than anybody naturally and technically. So we started from there, and it was all about the mental side, really. Helping lads that are out, that are struggling and think they're not good enough, because we thought we could get a kid at 18 who's being released, and as long as he's not 4 foot, I think we could do enough with him to really help him get back to a better level. So, and then obviously it started, and then we got like a good following, and it was now to get messages from all around the world from people saying we've got them back playing football, we'll make goalkeeping more appealing, and it's really nice to hear. And whether it's a goalkeeper playing in one of the best clubs in the world who messages asking for help, or whether it's a young kid in Argentina saying, it's really nice, and we just really want to help as many people as we can. And I say we can do a lot more. We're not there, but we should be better on camera. We should be doing a lot more. But between me, myself, Mark, and my brother Sean, my other brother Paul's involved now, so it's four brothers, and like I say, if we can help as many people as we can and use my experience and my career to really help. And I think I just wish I had us when I was younger and I could have had a better career. But no, like I say, it's a nice compliment. I've had, like I say, some of the best goalies in the world asking for tips on distribution and the technique, and it's really nice. They don't know us, and it's really nice that they do reach out.
That's brilliant, because as you said, it's about like you wanting to help people, and you wish that you've had that when you was young. And I wish that when I was 10 years old, that I could just put up my phone and go on Instagram and see someone making all these videos like you and your brothers have been doing, and me and Marcus are trying to do as well.
Yeah.
Because back then I was just on YouTube and so on, but I've always loved the side volley, and I really love the, you know, Pato from Getafe and Argentina.
He's one of the ones that I first saw doing it. He was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It was amazing. It was when Laudrup was coach for Getafe, and then it was crazy. He had everything, and that's when I started trying to do the side volley. And then,
but he had amazing mentality as well, where that helps you do it.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, he was so good. And then, like I don't remember when I saw this, but then I saw your technique randomly on Facebook, I think one day, and then you started putting up guides and so on. That has just helped, because I've always loved the side volley, but now I know that it's more about like the release is important.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The release and hitting the ball as you should. So to talk about the side volley a little, what's the secret behind the perfect side volley? Is that the release, as you said?
I think, like I say, it's like tennis on the serve. If you watch Federer, he's the best server in the world. And it's not the most powerful, but the best because of his release, the ball. He sort of takes the ball and lets it go rather than throwing it up like a lot of guys do. And me and Mark were at the pitch yesterday just talking about it, because his has come on a lot now. And obviously he's a player, but he loves doing it. For me, it was hard because I was never shown. I could do it from 18, obviously 15 years ago, 16 years ago. I could do it and I never got shown. And because it was funny, we were speaking to Jordan Pickford. We worked with him in January, yeah. And we're asking him about it. And he says he couldn't do it at the start. He struggled, but he went the pitch and practiced. So it's a complete different story to me, really. But obviously now he's known as one of the best in the world at doing it. But what we've done is we've looked into it through Mark's physical aspect. We've broke it down. And I didn't know when I first doing it that my ankle rotates 90 yeah. degrees the other way.
Yeah.
And but it all makes sense. And people think to hit a ball far straight, your foot should point where you're hitting it.
And yeah, what you've been told always. Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from probably up until about 3 years ago, I probably thought the same. So I couldn't even criticize somebody, but we've studied it so much now and I know exactly what I do. And that's why we'd like to think we're real specialists at it. We can look at somebody's technique and give them tiny little things to change. And it can make a massive difference. And that's why it's disappointing. We get a massive amount of opposition from goalkeeper coaches that we want to work with them. We don't want to be goalkeeper coaches. We want to work on the tiny little things about the side volley, about crossing, about kicking from the floor, and really make a difference and compliment them. And a lot of the time, like the guy Miguel Miranda, he's in Sporting Lisbon. He's one of the best young goalkeeper coaches in the world. He brought to Edison and Oblak. He didn't know about distribution before. Christ. And then after what he was with me for a week, and now all of a sudden he's teaching it to kids all over when he goes and works all over the world. So it's nice that goalkeeper coaches benefit too. And I must say the side volley, I think it's a nice thing to have, but I think it's a luxury. You have to use it at certain times. You can get through your career without it. I think the kicking from the floor is obviously the biggest one, the one that you really need to perfect.
Yeah, that's the stab technique, you call it. That's something that I've tried to perfect and I used it pretty well last season.
I know, I've seen your videos and some of them being brilliant.
Yeah, like one of them was just, I hit it perfect. It was just right inside the box and just went like 50 yards perfect, only like 4 meters in there and then right into the chest of a guy.
Oh,
and
I was standing there like,
whoa, it's so satisfying.
Is that from watching us?
Yeah, mostly. mostly, yeah, of course.
But it's all about... I think it's the nicest way to kick the ball. And I think a lot of people don't play the ball out because they're worried. I played with a guy who's a good friend of mine at Rangers, and he had unbelievable power and great technique. But in training, he's hit these amazing balls. But then in games, he would always go really high. And I was saying to Mark yesterday, he could have hit box to box with a stab technique, but he never used it. He went high and he was, obviously it's the fear. It's the fear of hitting the first man. But for me, I'm not a big guy and I had to use that technique or I wouldn't get the distance that I'd need.
Yeah, that's, again, just so amazing how it's developing nowadays. Here at the end of the podcast, Lee, we always ask our guests about their favorite gloves at the moment. But Alexander and I saw your post in your story this morning. You talking about maybe considering making a glove. Is that something that you are in the making with?
Well, that was me and my brother having a disagreement yesterday. And I was saying to him, because I think I know what people want, what they want to improve on gloves. So he put it on the story, what would you like? So But for me, I've played for all those years and I couldn't say. There's one glove, obviously, the Nate Mercurial victory that was the closest. But even then, it's nowhere near what I'd want. So for us, I think all these brands are bringing gloves out and I just think you're missing something. There's something. And I think when we do bring ours, with the right, we want to do it with the right people, I think it could change goalkeeping. But you need to educate. We're all about feeling the ball, and every glove's fine in the dry. Every glove's good. I think when you see people do glove testing and they stick them together, I think it's for kids to see. I think it's dangerous, because in a game, I've had it where I've wore brand new gloves and my gloves are really sticky. I was trying to do a side volley. I was nearly kicking my hand because I couldn't get the ball out. But it's like, in the dry, every glove's good. A little bit of people, someone will spit on it a little bit. You shouldn't do it now, obviously. But a little bit of wet. And every glove's good in the dry. And I just think that it's all about getting a glove that, in the wet conditions, obviously in America, that's why we were talking, me and Sean, because I said yesterday, in America, it's a complete different market for what they want, because 90% of the training is going to be on AstroTurf, it's going to be nice weather, or it's going to be indoor. And I think you need a different glove then, because you don't want to wear a soft one that's going to get ruined. You need something durable. In the UK and in Europe, the Northern Europe, in Scandinavia, I think you need something that's going to be for the wet weather. And I've found very few gloves for the wet weather. And so there's the best two I would say is the Trans Pro Adidas from 4 years ago. I don't know if you've seen it. We wore had a blue, a red, a yellow one.
Yeah, and then, I had that one too. It was good.
It was brilliant. But there were still things. I remember the last game I wore it, and it must have been why I stopped wearing it. I just didn't feel good in it. And it was a wet day. And I caught a ball, but it's one of those where I thought, nah, I didn't like that. And maybe there were, but I think when we do come up with something, I think it could be great. And I think also you'd want to come out with something that isn't €150, $150, because it's not fair. I think how long they last. I think also we'd always say, never ever wear your best gloves or good gloves in dry training. In wet training, you get 5 times longer. So in the dry, when you train with something rubbish. Don't ruin your best gloves and then say, oh, they're not durable, because it's not just 3G or 4G training. It's dry weather training. So like on this grass now in Sunderland, it's been hot here. So if I trained on this with a ball, even a brand new ball with my best gloves, after 10 minutes, the gloves are wrecked.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's I think it should be a hard ground glove or a dry weather glove, and then obviously a match glove. We have something else that could be coming that could really help people, and hopefully no more for the next couple of weeks. I think it could really help change goalkeeping. But we love to see goalkeepers catch the ball with their hands, and not a lot of goalies try to catch it with the gloves. But we want to catch it with your hands. And your gloves will help that. So at the minute, the Adidas Trans Pro and the Mercurial, maybe they're the two best ones, but none of them are perfect.
That's brilliant. And we are excited to see what the future holds for if you start producing and what you're going to do content-wise and everything. So, Lee, here by the end, we just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be here chatting with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was nice to meet you, and it's been great.
Yeah, it's been great, and it was a great podcast, and we hopefully you want to join us again in the future, and we'll get your brother or brothers on as well. Guys out there, make sure to follow the Monday GK on Instagram. Follow me and Marcus. It's Danish Goalkeeping, Goalkeeper Dane, and of course the podcast, Gloves on Podcast. Lee, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.